All right, so I don't know if you guys remember, but where Paul's been, he's been in jail, right? See? He's in jail, he's waiting for this trial to happen. You know, he hasn't been pronounced innocent or guilty yet, as we've seen. And the Jewish leaders, how do they feel about it?
Which ones?
The Jewish leaders in charge of the synagogues, the Pharisees and the Sadducees? Well, the others say Pharisees believe in resurrection where Sadducees don't.
Yeah, the people were like, hey, he's innocent. He's between the word of God and he's chill. But the other people were like, no. And then they're like, pow. And then the people were like, hey, let's just like get Paul out of the situation because we don't want him to get beat up.
Yeah, the Roman citizen. Oh, good. They're remembering. Yeah.
Well, it was basically
so the Pharisees were kind of on his side, but they weren't on his side also. But so the majority of the Jewish leaders, the leader of the synagogue, you know, they wanted him dead. They basically did not like Paul, but they did not convince the Roman authorities, or they did not, also they didn't have evidence that he was guilty. So the Roman centurion, as Cassia mentioned, you know, which arrested Paul, he didn't know what to do. He's like, I don't know. I don't want that responsibility. So he takes him to the governor of the region of Judea and Samaria, which is Felix. Not Felix the cat. There's actually a guy named Felix. I just showed my age. And then what we'll pick up, so they're going before the governor. So the governor of the region, obviously, is kind of like the judge, right? The judge of that region is high court of that region. And that's where we pick it up in Acts 24, 1 through 3. Cassia, would you please read Acts 24, 1 through 3.
Now after 5 days, Ananias the high priest came down with the elders and a certain orator named
Tertullus or Tertullus. So orator, what is an orator? Anybody?
It's something.
Huh?
Something.
It is something, and something what people talk.
Does that have anything to do with talking?
Ignore you. Okay.
Does that have anything to do with talking?
It does have something to do with talking.
Is it a translator?
A translator. No, it's not a translator. You don't know. He's the person what gives an orientation.
Oh.
Right? Which from the continent of Asia is what TJ was saying. Orient? No, just the lump bump. So it's somebody what's good at public speaking, right? Everybody loves public speaking, don't they? Frank does. So in this case, it's kind of like the lawyer, which lawyers have a great name, right? Everybody loves lawyers. So Tertullus,
Yeah.
Or turtle? Tortillas? Tortillas is trying really hard to get on the good side of Felix. Did you guys notice that?
No.
No. You didn't?
No.
Why? What do you say?
I don't know. I forgot.
You forgot already. You're awesome with reading. Well, as it says, seeing that through you, we enjoyed great peace. He said, oh, Felix,
you are amazing,
right?
If you do this, then we'll worship
you. Not quite that. But he was saying that, oh, you're doing an awesome job. Look how good you're doing. So he's really laying it on thick, right? He's trying to get on a good side. Now, a good judge will overlook personal interest, will look at friendship, and they'll only look at the facts. That's what a good judge would do. You know, because the facts what matters. You have to be fair. And to be fair, you have to be honest, right? Now, Roman historians describe Felix as cruel and lacking legal or moral restraint. So he's probably not the best guy, right? He's probably not a good judge. But even a bad judge needs to know if something sounds too good to be true, it probably isn't true. In Matthew 7, if we could turn to Matthew 7, 15 through 20. Yeah, it's to the left. Remember when you had to do that? For technology. Matthew 7, 15 through 20. You know what the red letter stands for, right? Yeah, that's what Jesus spoke. So, Ryan, can you? New Ryan, old Ryan. New Ryan, would you please, can you read that?
15 through
20.
Yep.
Surely,
I say you, will be more tolerable for the land of Solomon.
All right. Matthew 7. I'm sorry, I've said something and you've heard something. Matthew 7, 15 through 20. Beware. So how are we supposed to figure out if somebody's up to good or up to no good? Huh? You ask them? And of course, if they're up to no good, they're going to tell you, no, I'm bad, right?
No, but if you ask them, then they'll give the physical signs whether they're lying or not.
They'll give physical signs like a tick?
Yeah.
No, it is. But so by their actions is what you're saying.
Yeah, and you can also sometimes tell in their voice, unless they're actually good at lying.
So
their voice will be very mellow, I guess. Like, just sound
unless they're really good at lying.
Yeah, but it's mostly in body language.
I'm sorry. That's horrible. That's horrible. So what is Matthew say? How, or what does Jesus say? How will know somebody is up to no good? By
their actions.
By their actions, right? But he uses a terminology, analogy. He uses a symbolism of a
tree.
Not the tree, but what comes from a tree.
Fruit.
Fruit, right? So it's what the fruit symbolizes is what that tree produces. So what that person produces from his actions, that's how we're going to know how they are. So if his actions produce bad things or things that go against the Bible, we know he's not up to any good. Well, you know, and some people, we can get fooled, and there are snares out there. And that's why we need to be in the Bible, be in the Word, and talking with God. You know, sometimes we are going to get fooled. And those are the times where, you know, God has grace, right? And we need to recognize that when we find out, and then stop what we were doing if we were following somebody doing bad, you know, and then come back to Jesus. So I'm sure Felix, you know, he knows what kind of guy he is. Everybody knows if they're up to no good or if they're doing good. You know, subconsciously, they might still do it, but I'm sure he knows this guy is kind of just trying to get on his good side. But flattery is nice to hear, right? So we don't know how well this is working on him. But we'll continue in Acts 24, 4 through 6. Old Ryan. 24, 4 through 6. Verses 4 through 6. Acts 24. Verses 4 through 6. We'll mainly be in Acts 24.
Notwithstanding that I be not further immediate unto thee, I pray thee that thou wouldest hear us thy clemency a few words. For we have found this man a
plague.
A
plague?
Oh,
you might have a different version. Yeah. Oh. Huh? Right. I'm not sure. I don't have that version. All right. No, he just keep going. We'll just skip over that.
Nazarenes. Who also hath gone about to profane the temple, whom we took, and would have judged according to our law.
All right. So even though it was a different version, it's still meaning the same thing. Plague, meaning bad, right? They're charging Paul with being a really bad guy. You know, causing death and destruction all over the world. Kind of being a little dramatic. You know, defying their temple and being a ringleader for the Nazarenes. All right. I find this kind of interesting. I don't know if you guys will, but the early church, you know, has a couple names for it, right? But the believers of the early church, you see when it's written, when they're talking about themselves, they prefer to refer themselves as the followers of the way. You know, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the light. You know, the Gentiles, however, when they're referring to them, they call them Christians, meaning little Christ-likes. You know, I don't know what's up with the short joke, but it's... But actually, from what we've gathered, is it is meant to be like an insult, or mocking them a little bit. They're categorizing them, and they're a little bit of a mocking situation going on. Now, unbelieving Jews, because they're unbelieving, right? They don't believe that Jesus was the Messiah. Meaning that if Jesus is not Messiah, Messiah, Christ, the same basic thing, right? So Jesus isn't Christ. So they're not, don't call them Christians because they don't believe Jesus, because they're following Jesus and they don't believe Jesus was Christ. So they called them the sect of Nazarenes, right? So referring to the Nazareth, it's this little town, right? This region where there's a lot of Gentiles. So a proper Jew is like, well, there's no way the Messiahs don't come from there. That's ridiculous. We look, most Israelites look down on that region. So again, a Nazarene would be kind of an insult or kind of a mocking situation for the Jews. Now, insulting names can most definitely hurt. But it should not change who we are in our convictions. 1 Peter, if we want to turn to 1 Peter, it's to the right. 1 Peter 4:16. TJ, can you read that? There's a good load of Bibles right over there in the bookcase.
Did you get a Bible?
Yep. Like what verse you
have? 1 Peter 4:16.
Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on his behalf.
So knowing, now that you know that the term Christian is kind of mocking or insult, I don't know about you, but it makes me put a whole nother spin on this verse. You know, Peter knows that no matter what they call us, no matter what they call us, they could call us names. They could be mean. We're not to sink down to their level, right? We're supposed to rise above. We're supposed to be not ashamed of who we are, not ashamed that we follow God, but we're supposed to glorify God in everything. During everything, even if we're being mocked, we're supposed to be like God-like, right? Be that Christ-like. Be the Christians. We're back in Acts 24, 10 through 14. And we'll hear from Michelle.
10 through 14.
Yep, 10 through 14.
Then Paul, after the governor had invited to him to speak, answered, "Inasmuch as I know that you have been for many years a judge of this nation, I do the more cheerfully answer for myself, because you may ascertain that it is no more than 12 days since I went up to Jerusalem to worship, and they neither found me in the temple disputing with anyone, nor inciting the crowd, either in the synagogues or in the city, nor can they prove the things of which they know now accuse me. But this I confess to you, that according to the way which they call a sect, so I worship the God of my fathers, believing in all things which are written in the law and in the prophets."
So Paul's defending himself, right? Basically saying they have no proof. It's only been 12 days. How can I organize a coup and start all these riots? You know, he goes on this, but then he does admit, he confessed that he's part of the way. Right? He says, yes, that is right. That is right. You know, he believes in all the written, all that is written in the law, in of the prophets. So Paul believes all things of the Bible. Everything that the Bible has, he believes true. Right? If we think about it, there's no doubt that everything. Now, the Sadducees and the Pharisees, they kind of have this Dalmatian kind of view. It's a little spotty, right? They like this part, but that part, but I like this part. The real reason that the Jews wanted to kill Paul is because they did not believe in Jesus, in who he said he was, but Paul did. That's pretty much point blank. That's why. That's why they were so against him. Because Paul told people the truth, and he reasoned with them, meaning that, you know, he was convincing them. He had proof of this. He was getting through to people, and they had no way to combat that. Because Paul was not afraid of them. Paul wasn't afraid of their power. He was more fearful of God, because what can man do for us if God's with us, right? They could kill you, but they can't take your soul. You know, the Sadducees and Pharisees could not control Paul. And that is why they were against him. In Acts 24:22, Andy.
Adjourned the proceedings. And said, when Lysias, the commander, comes back, I will make a decision on your case.
All right. So Felix had more knowledge, right? We heard from Paul when he said, oh, you've been a judge for many years now. So he kind of knows what's going on. He kind of knows what both sides are talking about. They're trying to stay away from the actual reasons, but he knows what's going on. He became governor after Pontius Pilate. Anybody remember him?
Pilate?
Yeah.
Pontius Pilate?
Huh?
Yeah. Pontius Pilate? Yes.
Yes. You remember him?
Yeah.
He's a good pilot, huh?
Kind of.
You know, those first airplanes were trying to be tricky. No, he was the one what judged Jesus, right?
See?
Yeah. So I'm sure he's heard about what happened, right? You take over somebody's position, you kind of have to know history of what happened. Now, his wife was Jewish. Actually, she wasn't just Jewish. She was the granddaughter to Herod the Great. I don't know if you remember who Herod the Great was, but when Jesus was born,
he was like, ka-chow with all the babies.
Yeah, ka-chow. He tried to kill Jesus when he was only two, right? Great threat. She's also the great niece to Herod, the Herod that killed John the Baptist. Ka-pow with the head. And her father is the one who killed the Apostle James, or had the Apostle James put to death.
Is she a good person?
Oh, she's a great person. I don't know. You know, they don't really say, I mean, they give you this detail. I don't really know. I mean, I shouldn't prejudge somebody, right?
Because she could have
changed. I don't think she was saved. It doesn't, well, I'll give you more details. I don't think she was the greatest person. She probably made some bad decisions.
But was she better? She didn't, like, kill people, did she?
I would have to look into that. I don't know if she's like, I'm so happy my father and grandfather and uncle did these things. I'm not sure. But anyways, she's been around, right? She knows things. She has family history. So Felix had all these facts, right? He knew about things, but he puts off the decision. He puts off the decision for a more convenient time. Has anybody ever done that, put off something for a more convenient time? Does homework get easier if we put it off? Yes, it does. Right, of course it does. Because we like cramming for it.
I get it done quicker when it's the last one.
Is it as neat and as polished?
No, I mean...
It's not.
It's never neat and polished, so...
Yeah. So, convenient time. That's kind of a weird thing. Because that's this imaginary lands where unicorns run and be free and... Right.
Technically, I don't have to do my homework because it doesn't even count as a grade.
That's so sad.
That's
so sad because where is the drive?
No.
Where is the drive?
They changed the way that they grade stuff. Everything is based on the test. So you practice with the teachers, and then what you get on your test is basically your grade.
So your test, okay.
Yeah, so it's not like based on the homework because that's just stupid.
Yeah. So, and then Acts 24 through 25.
24,
yeah, 24, 24. Chapter 24, verse 24. Don't get confused. It's still a 24. 24, 24, 25. Through 25. Yes, you.
Okay. And after some days when Felix came with his wife,
Drusilla. Oh, sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm just...
Who was Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. Now, as he reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and judgment to come, Felix was afraid and answered, "Go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I will call for you." Okay.
Yeah. So, Paul talks to Felix about righteousness, right? He actually reasons. So that means he's getting through to Felix, right? He's reasoning. He's saying, well, because of this and this, he's reasoning, right? Righteousness, self-control in judgment that's coming. How'd Felix feel about that? He was scared, right? I don't feel like Paul sugarcoats things. I think he's kind of a straight shooter. He's like tells it how it is, right? And Felix got scared. Now, Drusilla, yeah, is Felix's third wife, right? And Felix is her second husband.
Why do people get married so often?
I don't know. When Felix was made governor, Drusilla actually was married to this other guy. But Felix saw her and convinced her, hey, I would be a better husband than that guy.
Like, is that like a frowned upon?
If what?
If you didn't get married?
Yeah,
was that like frowned upon at all?
Not really, but if you were scamming on girls, then yeah, I mean, I mean, there's certain things you shouldn't be doing unless you're married, right?
Yeah, but like, what if you just like don't get married and just like chill? And just
that was perfectly fine. And actually, that's where the whole like priests, you know, there were some priests which just were concentrating on God, not on worldly things, right? Great question. but marriage vows to some people are not a big deal. Just words, right? But to God, our vows are extremely important. That's our word. And if we can't back up our word, or we can't trust our word, nobody can trust our word, there's a problem there. So to say Drusilla, was she a good person? I don't know. But she did leave her husband. Or I don't know if it started with cheating on her husband. You know. However, these are some of the reasons. You know, I'm sure it's not all the reasons that Felix might have been scared. But obviously, there was a problem there, or he wouldn't have been scared. Right? He wouldn't have been feeling convicted. There was problems there, and he knew it. We all have that inner voice, you know, the Holy Spirit telling us, yeah, you shouldn't have been doing this. Right? We have that. We know that. We need to listen to it. Verses 26 through 27. New Ryan, do you feel like reading that?
Sure.
All right.
Meanwhile, he also hoped that money would be given him by Paul that might release him grief. Therefore, he sent for him more often and conversed with him. But after 2 years, succeeded Felix, and Felix waited to have the Jews a favor left Paul on. Do the Jews a favor left Paul on, yeah.
Right. He left him in jail, right? He left him bonded. 2 years. 2 years an innocent Paul waiting on prison, right? What is he waiting for prison for? He's waiting to figure out if they find him guilty or innocent. You know, they haven't even decided that. But he's kept in prison for 2 years, right? It is a long time, right? In school.
Wasted 2 years of his life.
In high school, that's almost forever, right?
Yeah.
2 years for me, it's like, eh, it's nothing. Drop in the bucket. But Felix went and talked to Paul. Not because he wanted to know more about the way, because he was hoping for something. And says he was hoping for something. Right? Correct? All right. So now we know that.
Number five.
What was he hoping for? That's what I'm trying to... Okay. He was hoping for... Huh?
The verses, right?
Yeah, he wasn't looking for verses. No, he was looking, the answer's in the verses, right? The answer's always in the verses.
Are they past verses or future verses?
Well, past verses because we just read it. We just read the verse in verse 26. Anyone at all? Anyone? Oh, he was hoping for money,
wow.
Right? He was thinking, hey, Paul just had all this alms from these Gentile churches. Hey, maybe he has some money. You know, or maybe his friends don't bribe me or give me a ransom for him. So obviously, this is probably a common procedure. So another reason why maybe Felix might have been scared, because he wasn't quite honest with everything, right? He wasn't quite the fair judge. If somebody gave him money, ah, he might look the other way. And also, he wanted to remain on the Jewish leader's good side. It's like, oh, well, I know I haven't made a decision, but I'm keeping him in jail, right, for 2 years, right? Now, Felix is a good example. A good example of somebody who's heard the truth, who knows the truth, who puts off the truth for a more convenient time. You know, he knows this, but you could just picture this Felix. He pictures surrendering to God is losing his status. You know, losing his power. Losing the control over his own life. You know, stubborn pride keeps people what hear the truth away from the truth. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. Old Ryan? Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18.
It's just to write a couple of chapters.
Towards the back of the... Are you, okay, Cassia. I will catch up to you, O'Brien, in a second. Huh? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. That's it. Right, so what is that saying?
I don't know.
You don't know? It's saying that so somebody who doesn't believe, you know, these words might mean nothing to them. Right? Because they don't see that. But for somebody who believes, it's the power of God. You know, it's everything. Right? But it says that it's foolishness. So they're not making the right decision, but if you don't believe, yeah, it doesn't make any sense to those people. But to us, it's everything. So after 2 years, I know I'm harping on 2 years, but that's a long time. 2 years of being in prison without a conviction, Paul does not lose hope, right? How strong would we be in that situation? Would that be too long? I'm sure there were some dark moments in a prison, but he didn't lose hope.
Prison's not
awful. No. So, old Ryan?
Yes.
Yes. Would you please end us in prayer?